Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Welcome to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. I'm your host and producer, Gwen Berry. I'm in South Florida with Professor Ronald Feynman, who's in Boca Raton, and Wayne Johnson, who is in
Annapolis, Maryland.
And if I could get the mic open, I'd introduce Jack Jodell up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Gwen. Boy, these phone problems. My cell phone died on me. It lights up. The battery's fine. There's nothing wrong with the battery. It just all of a sudden just it won't let me go to the next. It won't let me call out. I can only receive calls. God Almighty. My voicemail is shot. Everything's shot on the damn thing. I'm so pissed off. But excuse my French.
Well, that's all right.
Why is it French?
We were just talking about how we've become multilingual.
My memory is all taken. It's all shot, too. I can't access anything.
Who's the president of the United States, Jack?
What's that?
Who's the president of the United States, Jack?
Yeah, Trump hacked me.
All right. If you know it's Trump, you're all right.
Yeah. Good to hear from you, Ron. I'm glad I made
good
it
to hear
here.
From you, too, all of you. Yeah.
Well,
it's
come out, said the wolf, and before he blew the houses down on the little pig. So I see that there is a sort of a relationship between that old fairy tale and the moment we stand in America right now. They have brought people out in other countries, but only essential workers and people who they haven't opened majority of their schools or anything like that. And where they tried doing that, like Germany, the resulting peaks that began again and hospital people being brought into the hospital, Angela Merkel completely closed the country back down again. And We shall see. It's like a Republican hootenanny out there, boys. The boardwalks are crowded along the East Coast and seaboard. Our beaches, I have to say, most of our beaches, though, seem to be Daytona. They're practicing social distancing. I'm not quite sure about Miami, but I wouldn't bet on anything down there, I'll tell you. And then there is the beaches going north. I'm not quite sure about Fort Lauderdale, but last I heard they were crowded on that beach. And people are not wearing masks, guys.
No, they're not.
They're suicidal in nature. These people all just, me, myself, and I, it's infuriating, you know?
Well, I have the feeling that, you know, Republicans think that COVID's going to kill the Democrats and the lefties, and so they want to see it open. But the only ones really coming out without protection and enjoying the bon vivant that's currently underway are actually Republicans and Trumpsters. The majority of other people are staying very safe. They are doing their very best to socially distance. I know people in Maine. I know people in Carolina, New York State, New York City. I mean, people are still staying hunkered down unless they have to go. And if they do, they're all loaded down with thieves oil or hand sanitizer or alcohol swabs, and all of them have masks and they're using them.
Well, I was included in this. It's kind of a morphing of the Tea Party, but there's those that are where the Libertarian Party is gaining membership, but they are just as back crap crazy as the Trumpies. You know?
Well, Justin Amash is not going to run, though, and he's a name, so I don't think Libertarians are going to do as well this time. as Gary Johnson is 3.3%. I tend to think if you had a name person like Justin Amash, he might do that well, but I don't think they're going to gain that much.
No.
Go
ahead, Gwen.
I'm starting to hear some of my friends over on a more left of progressive sort of stage saying, you know, you guys need to wake up over there, vote blue or no, don't, you know, vote blue or nothing type of thing.
Right.
Because, you know, certainly the African-American community will and la-di-da-di-da. Well, I have a feeling that it's a possibility with all the good news about how people don't like what Trump has done and all of this. I think it's possible he still could win again.
Yeah.
Oh, God forbid.
I know. You know, not just one God either. Bring them all in.
That if that happens, the country is doomed completely. To survive another 4 years with a reckless president? Oh, my God.
Well, I think you can just take a look out the window and see the doom approaching anyways. Whoever walks into that office, can you imagine what – and it's not that I don't think that Democrats and good politicians in Washington right now can't meet the moment, but Biden on his own with just an old Democrat Party background there advising him is not going to get this job done. He needs to make use of all those good candidates that were running with him.
Oh, I think he will. I think absolutely he will.
He says certain things, but I'm reading between the lines in it. And while he's trying to put progressive on the forefront now, seeing that issue, I mean, say we do contain COVID and there's an antibody breakthrough and they find some kind of vaccine, with the way this thing morphs in so many different people, it's like hard to see how they're going to get there soon at all. And with the, I mean, can you believe that by the time you're going to get your coffee on Tuesday morning, 100,000 Americans are going to be dead? And I don't
I said that on my blog, yeah. That's in 10 weeks.
Numbers.
Unbelievable. You know, it's almost as much as World War One.
More
than Vietnam and Korea combined and 9/11. Unbelievable.
What did you hear about the young lady over in Tampa? Was it Tampa, Ron? The young gal who worked for the state who was, you know, responsible for publishing the medical, you know, data that was coming through on COVID. And apparently all of them statewide have been approached from the state house to not give out the proper numbers, to give out numbers that come from Tallahassee and not the ones they're collecting in their counties or districts. So she came out, she got fired for it, and she came out and said so. And I think it's true. I don't think she's some kind of hoax or anything. I think there's a lot more countable deaths in this country and worldwide. I mean, who of us believes that only a couple of 100,000 people are infected in Russia?
Yeah, but Russia has, you know, at least officially gone up dramatically, as has Brazil. You know, they weren't even in the top five, and now they are.
Yeah.
And now government's banning people from Brazil from coming in as of tonight. Unless they're U.S. citizens, that is. Otherwise, no Brazilians are allowed in because of the growth there. And their president is worse than Trump. You know, he denies it completely that there's even a virus.
That's why they're so bad. It's how the different leadership has handled this. But I will say this, the places where the, you know, it's cultural, like we talked about the last time, in the eastern countries like Thailand and Hong Kong and South Korea, where they contained it so well, and even China, they got them locked down pretty fast. It's because there's, you know, a difference, and you follow the leadership, and the leadership said, get the hell home, lock it down. And they began immediately testing and tracing. South Korea is almost complete with its testing and tracing. The trouble is that they opened a city up with from one nightclub in a city in South Korea.
Yeah, that's right.
They got an explosion, and I hate to say it was a gay, but it was. It was a gay nightclub. That's kind of hard.
Okay. I didn't know that though. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a member of the Family Boys.
Hello,
so
hey,
I heard it on the queer drum line that, you know, these people are screwing it all up.
As long as this does not interfere with Pompeo's next dinner. What up? Disgusting, man.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, now, every cabinet member, you think they're bad, and then they get replaced by someone worse. So we thought Tillerson was bad. Now we have Pompeo for state. Of course, we had Sessions for Attorney General. Now we have Barr. It's actually worse.
Now Sessions and Trump are fighting amongst each other. It's a real free-for-all, man. This guy has got to go. The Trump administration has got to go down in smoke, never to arise again. It's horrible.
But to think that the ones who started off were horrible, and now they look better than the ones who were there? It's crazy.
God almighty, the whole bar's dropped.
Mitch McConnell was recorded. Overheard and recorded saying that, you know, while denying any kind of further monies or what do they call it, you know, what he's concerned with is putting judges on the bench as many as can till the next election, and then he doesn't really give if he's elected again.
He wants our court system dating back to about 1810.
No,
that's what he wants. He's so far-fetched.
He wants to ensure that the corruption that they've established remains in place. That's what
that's
about.
Exactly.
I'm over being sweet about the whole thing. I mean, what a bunch of motherfuckers. And nobody, I mean, how can, I don't see why Democrats are not screaming and just.
Well, they're only 47 members of the Senate. That's the problem.
mean, why aren't, I've listened to Sherrod Brown today, and I could tell he was holding back profanity. And he should have come out with it.
I see a number of progressives on MSNBC, on Joy Reid and other shows, what's her name, one that was in the Bush administration. And Rachel Maddow. Yeah, it's very interesting to see them because they're talking the truth, and because they don't control the Senate, they're muted so much in that very important body. We have got to gain control of the Senate and keep it in our hands. And we can't go back and forth on it. We've got to make a strong statement at the voting booth this fall, no doubt about it. Do what you got to do. Make sure you get your vote in.
But Jack, here's the thing. Do you think, and this is a question I'm posing here, by November of next year, do you think they're going to have all this, this year, I'm sorry.
Not next year, thank God, it's not a year and a half from now.
Do you think by November, do you seriously think everybody's going to be vaccinated and safe to go out and vote?
Oh, hell no.
We won't have a vaccine.
I won't be. I vote by mail, but I won't be going to stand in a line and get, do you know how many people in Wisconsin who stood in line to get that Democrat in office and now got COVID?
Yeah, and Trump is saying that he has to because he's in D.C. So why don't you get on a goddamn Air Force One and come down and vote? But he wants to deny other people the right to vote. What he can do is, you know.
Typical of him.
Well, the truth is that majority of the states you can legally vote by mail. And I hope people will be doing that because unless, of course, and the Senate seems to be doing, and the cabinet, everything they can to keep anybody from checking on Russian or Chinese or Korean influence in our election. They all are, you know, for it. It's nothing's going to be. It's You look in one direction or you look in the other, and you've got to think that that light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train at this point, because it just is so crazy. And then, of course, Joe did one of his flubs with the black activists on an interview.
Yeah.
It was a good interview, but
it could have been worse. It could have been worse, but it could have been far better.
Well, you know,
but Joe gets picked on for what he said, but Trump, people ignore, not you and I, but Trump is ignored by many. Oh, whatever he says,
exactly.
Who cares? But if Joe says something, quite right, they jump all over him.
People are used to it. Let's be clear that what Trump says, his supporters think is just, you know, pearls of wisdom dropping from his mouth. When Joe...
How can the human race contain such diverse, goofy people?
Well,
it just blows me
away. When he speaks, you've got progressives, Democrats, old liberals, people who see the freaking oncoming train, and they're saying, they are rightfully saying, not good enough, man, not good enough. Get better now. And they're right. They're absolutely right. The minute he gets in that office, his first job is to restructure and bring back our institutions, and he has to have all the people and day one coming in doing that. And it would please me and the whole rest, I'd say probably about 30% of this country, if he came in with the legal aid that puts subpoenas into the pockets of every one of the bastards they're throwing out of offices, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Pompeo
yeah.
And this thing was Mike Flynn being, you know, granted
what a joke.
Yeah, but the judge is saying, wait a minute here, boy.
Exactly.
Wait a minute.
Good job.
And
yep, good job, Judge.
But subpoenas,
you know, he'll be attacked because he's African American. Watch.
Oh, sure.
Who?
The judge.
The judges,
It doesn't matter. He's still a judge. He sits on that bench no matter what they say.
He attacked a person with Mexican-American judge, and he said he was from Mexico, remember, a few years ago?
Yeah, but it
didn't matter. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
And the son of a bitch is going to get hit with all kinds of subpoenas when he goes in to pick up his luggage in New York. You know?
I like the way you put that.
I hope that happens. I can't wait for that to happen.
Yeah. You know, what gets me is I saw this Twitter video about these African Americans, mostly women, some men, who were saying they're Republicans and they're not going to vote for Joe. And I'm listening to them and saying, okay, I understand people are people, everybody's an individual, but what is it you see in this man if you look at his whole history? And Trump, I don't get it, you know?
Well, you know, I found Republicans, as long as there's an R beside somebody's name, they'll vote for them. It's like they're hypnotized into it or something.
That's
insane.
I don't think that's completely true. I think there's a lot of
I see it all the time, Gwen, or what are you talking about? It's happening all the time.
You probably do, but I don't think every Republican out there, because there's a lot of Republicans.
I'm not saying they're all bad that way, but among that group, there's a ton of them that are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, you're not painting with a broad brush, but there's many, too many.
I find it interesting that Mitt Romney, who I'm not a fan of, said Utah has voting by mail and it works, there's no problem. So he actually is still contradicting Trump, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I lived in Massachusetts when Mitt Romney was governor, and he did a decent job. I did not have much. He worked with the Democrats there, and he put in a lot of very liberal policies and helped many things along. Yes,
but then when he left office, he attacked Obamacare, which was like Romneycare. Figure that out.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well,
crazy, you know.
He did that to appeal to the Republican base, you know, and it's the games these people play. But he's a lot like his father, George Romney, who preceded him, who was a moderate Republican.
Yes.
And
just as William Scranton was in the 60s in Pennsylvania, too.
Good point. Yep. They're
all
good cut
people.
From the same mold.
And they were decent Republicans.
Yeah, right.
Well,
they weren't bad.
Is that the thing is, there still are decent Republicans. It's just that they've kept their mouth shut, or they've just refused to get involved, and they wait and they go and cast
yeah.
their vote.
Or they let those spoiled little brats, the very loud minority of them, do all the talking. That's shameful. They've got to stand up to these guys.
There's a lot of lessons here on a global level that are being learned about economics, about inequality, about our inhumanity toward, you know, the racism. Look what's happening out at the Dene, the Lakota Reservation right now. Look what's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, this is horrifying. So I have this feeling, gentlemen, and you know what? We may not see the end of this, but something has started here more than just, you know, a bad virus that's wiping so many people out like the Spanish flu. I think so, because at the time of the Spanish flu, even with the war in Germany and all of that, there's a whole lot more on the table now. There are a whole lot more issues, and they're global. We aren't the only country that is, you know, tail fishing and dovetailing the majority of the people into servitude and stealing every inch of profit there is to, you know, greedy bags of silver, the monopoly boy running on the board. It's gotten so far out of hand that even during this pandemic, the profiteering that has gone on by the large corporations and what they've done, it's just in freaking credible. It's immoral, and you know,
capital I.
When they got through with World War II, they held war crimes trials for the public to see on a global level. And I have to tell you something. I think that when we start to find some kind of healing and remedy for it and try to reestablish, I mean, who we are and what we do in this world, I think there ought to be tribunals or courts set up to address just absolutely address the whole thing, because nothing has worked. Humanity is just, you know, and right now it's all getting ripped open, and we're seeing it at its worst. And
well,
we got
we're an imperfect species. We got to realize that we demand perfection, and oftentimes we'll accept far less. We've got to raise our standards and still be true to our ideals, and it's difficult to do that. It's difficult to balance these things, and it's a challenge of our day. And you know, it's unavoidable. We've got to deal with this stuff. We've got to raise up, and we've got to get our country back from these people that are screwing it up. All the profiteering corporatists and all these guys, they have got to go. I've been railing against those guys in my blog for years and years and years. And we've made a little bit of progress, but nowhere near what we need to.
Well, you know, one of the biggest things that say everybody is like, well, we got to support the unions and yada yada. Well, you know what? Unions are fucking corporate structures for the majority.
Yeah,
now,
they've kind
they
of betrayed.
They're top down. They are no longer caucus. They are no longer caucusing, and they haven't been for, well, since after World War II, really. And it's basically, that's how people like a Jimmy Hoffa gets in there and takes over, and
yeah.
and people and the mob starts running things. You know, it's everything needs to be addressed, because this is what it leads to. We're at this profiteering and resource gathering has brought on a planetary scale an ecological crisis
Nightmare. About.
And
yep.
So nature has responded, and I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it that it's some kind of lab-made virus. I do
no,
not
they know it's
that.
Not lab-made. They know
I know.
DNA, they know it is organic. It is not lab-made.
Yeah. And that's
right.
why it's so effing hard for them because it is shifting in people for hither wither. I mean, my gosh, one person catches it and they get struck one way, and another group of people get hit by it. They get struck another way, and then there are those who go through it, and they have a horrible time, but they don't go to the hospital. They finally come out of it, but they get it again.
That's scary.
And children get it, too. Some children, yeah.
Yeah, children.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Kids have died. Yeah, terrible.
The adults,
4 and 5 years old. My God.
And I think they're lying about that. I think they're lying about the numbers there in other countries.
The big problem is the lack of information. We've got to get solid, reliable information, and it's really hard out there with so many people spreading bullshit.
I was going to say, one of my favorite quotes I like to say, Jack, is the success of our democracy is based on the art of truth. And we haven't had, well, we know it's blatant lies every time he opens his mouth.
All the time.
We have not
yeah.
heard truth to make our decisions on in the last, oh, hell, with the Republican Party. We can go all the way back to W. Bush, even Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, Reagan, he was a puppet. He was
yeah,
a puppet.
Exactly.
He was puppet
he's a
puppet master.
He's a puppet, yep.
But
well,
he,
I'm hoping up to 40 years of Reagan and since, maybe we'll be going in the direction of the New Deal Great Society in the next.
I would love that. Boy, you
yeah,
said a mouthful. I'm all for it.
I
yeah.
hear that. I hear that a lot from people who think about things and know that the structure, because at this point, you can objectively look at the system of economy on this planet and you can objectively, correctly say, capitalism fails.
Oh yeah.
This is what capitalism has done. So it's and I'm an independent businesswoman and I have a micro business, yes, but I have an accountant who's trying to get me one of these loans to help me out with little or no interest.
You.
Pay off at it. Well,
you're
I
not big enough.
I have a really good accountant and there are avenues to other monies that have been put aside in the states, but the state birthers and the governments are not letting the small business people know that there are a few other programs that were filled
yeah.
up because they're trying to parcel them out for favorites.
Yeah.
And but if you know about it and you apply for it, well, but it's This is what a mess, guys. What a mess.
It's awful out there. It's bad, and I hate to say it's getting worse. I don't know that it is, but it seems like it sometimes. We have got to come to grips with it, and we've got to stop it dead in its tracks. And there's one way we can do it, and it's at the voting booth this November. We've got to make a big change, both in the Senate and in the presidency. It has got to change. It's just ridiculous the way things are going right now. It's so corrupt, so terrible, and it's so anti-worker, anti-small person. It's pro-business all the way and all this
we
crap
had,
about
we had,
and anti-small business. Yeah.
Anti-small business, that's right.
Well, you know what? You say that that's how we change it is at the voting booth. I think nature thinks the way that you change it. And
I'd rather not go there.
Yeah, I think nature is already talking to us. It's like I said the last time, borrowing Ron's use of the term, we got a little bit of divine intervention going on here, guys.
Could be.
Or karma, as I call it, also KAOMA. I keep on using those two terms.
Yeah.
Well, in its proper understanding, karma is not about what happens in this life. It's just a saying that people got in the 60s and went with, and people believe that if bad things are happening, it's your karma. Well, that's not really how it works. But, you know, the thing is that if you ever notice, and all of us have been around a long time and through school and work life or family life or creating one, whatever. You ever notice that what goes around comes around? Whatever you put out there will come back in some way. You know, It's there's a balance. There's the warp and the woof of the universe. And when you put good things out, good things happen. Have you ever noticed that? When you're lousy, you know, lousy sort of follow you around.
Yeah.
We really do. And that, you could call that being an old-fashioned American or what have you, but it really is true that we make our own life, and it's just now we're stuck in this place of, good Lord, I mean, this is a mess, guys.
We got to fight our way out. That's all there is to it. You got to fight your way out. And with that, I have got to leave. I'm terribly sorry. I had to call in on my landline, and I'm paying long distance rates, and I can't afford it. So I've got to go right now. We'll resume it next week. Hopefully, I'll have a new cell phone that'll work, and then I'll be able to do it from that and just pay my regular rates. But right now, I'm going to get eaten up if I don't hang up now. So I've got to go. So God bless every one of you. Stay healthy. Let's beat Trump and this virus. And let's emerge victorious.
Absolutely, Jack.
All right.
Thank you for calling.
All the best
in.
To you. Have a keep pushing forward, everybody. We're on the right track.
You're right.
There you go.
Yep.
Be
good
safe.
Night, yep. See you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
I think Jack's what do you call it? He has this message that you guys have heard it that comes on to keep solicitors off.
Yeah.
Sometimes those mess up your lines, and I think that's what's happening to Jax. Nobody can really call in. It's not letting people through. I don't know what she sent me there, Wayne. North Carolina.
North Carolina. Somebody had a spike, I see, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
North Carolina had a spike there.
You sent that to me,
Like, we're going to open up because it's all, you know, it's all over and stuff. They opened it up, and then all of a sudden, boom, another spike.
Florida.
Well, yes, and that's what I keep telling people. We haven't even seen the second wave coming through yet.
Well,
and it's going to be worse than the first wave.
Well, and people think that, well, okay, so we'll have the summer to make money. Well, tell me that on June 10th. Or June 8th. Tell me that. hey, even my sister is thinking mid-June she'll start, you know, masking up and going into the clinic and under the table one day a week to keep her job. And, you know, because her boss has got the clinic open. He's working. Because there are people who've just had it and they don't give a damn and they come in and they want their treatment. And I'm like, you know, geez. I'm like, stay hunkered down, man. And I'll be honest with you, gentlemen. My grandmother came to me, gave me a dream and said, you stay on the boat. And what she meant was you stay hunkered down. I know that we really do have to, if we have to go out, we have to be really careful. We have to keep the distance and we have to wear the masks.
Right.
Now they're saying that the virus doesn't live long on, you know, paper or surfaces and stuff. Well, how can
keep
they
going.
Say that when the CDC had it that it lives longer on surfaces like railings that are stainless steel, and of course we're talking about indoors, not outdoors, because
Gwen, that is this current administration's and the peons, the puppets that he's got, are propagating that lie out to make people feel safe to go out and try to get this thing going. Because like I said, if we don't get the economy going, Trump loses the election, his ass is going to jail with all their subpoenas. They are lying.
And I'm starting to think that the Republicans, you know, they're trying so hard, so they'll at least stand their ground type of thing. They're trying to get the economy going a bit somehow, but what they're doing is they're setting us up for an economic failure of incredible
Absolutely.
Consequences that just have never. We are already at Great Depression.
Yes, we are. We have 25% now. Yep. And that's for this week. Every week they add more people, so it will be even greater this the middle of this week.
As Professor and I were communicating back and forth through the week, we haven't seen anything yet. It's going to go higher. We are going to break the records of the Great Depression for unemployment.
Well, as far as numbers, we certainly have, because it's triple the population, triple the number of unemployed. But right now, it's just about the same as the Great Depression in 1933, but it's not like there's no more unemployment coming. So it's going to go higher than 25%. Yep.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And it's not going to come down like the guy from the White House today said that he thought it could go down quite a bit by November. No, I don't think it's going to go down. Maybe it'll go down 1 or 2 points, so it'll be 24 instead of 26. What's the difference? I don't see it going low at all. And honestly, when Joe Biden comes in, he's got a much greater challenge than anybody since FDR. And I used to say Obama did with the Great Recession. But compared to that, this is a greater challenge than Obama had 12 years ago.
Yeah, oh, I agree with that. I agree with you, Professor. Absolutely.
And you know, do you know who Obama turned to help him turn all that around? Was the gal who was running for president, Aunt Betsy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his compromise with Wall Street and everything and keeping that structure secure to not let her run it.
Well,
so,
I'm going to say, as I understand, President-elect Obama asked Bill Clinton, what should I do? Should I go after these bastards who abused and killed the system? And Clinton's replied back. This is Bill Clinton replied back to him. You're going to need them to get this country back on stop. Get it back on. So they're guilty as hell, but you're going to need them.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That ain't even going to help at the end of this one. So it's I know what you're saying. We're going to have to build from the ground up. We're capable of it, but we're going to have to build from the ground up. And those of us online and the essential industry that keeps this country going, like what we saw during lockdown, getting food out to people, having the stores open, the electricity running, the water plants going, this is going to have to continue. The first thing, we really need to capture the Senate, and it looks like we have a chance. But then you've got to make all the Democrats that get elected, and let's remember, there's blue dogs out there running, people who will be for profit, and they'll wear blue, and just because you're voting for the D doesn't mean you're getting, you know, somebody who's going to make it happen. But What they're going to have to do is pump money into the homes of people. They're going to have to put a stay on evictions and mortgages nationally because countries are already contemplating in doing it. Because if they don't, my gosh, hey, Ron.
But more homeless than we've ever had, yes.
Well, no, crime will spike. It will spike real quick, and it'll be bloody crime. Because you're going to have families wanting to feed their children and people wanting to survive, and you're going to have blood in the streets because people are not going to leave their homes. They go ahead, evict me. That's, you know, to hell with you. I'm just not going to pay you rent, anything, you know. They're going to have to do drastic measures, like put a hold on everything until everything begins to rebuild itself, and it's going to take some pretty bright people to make that happen.
Exactly.
And I ain't holding my breath for it being Joe Biden, but I'm hopeful that he knows who to listen to.
There you go.
To make that happen. I know Barack Obama knows who those people are. I know Hillary Clinton knows who those people are, but
that Joe Biden, that those two will not have Joe Biden's ear.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it all depends on the guy, because they all the frigging, you know, don't ask, don't tell, be formal, don't push anybody type of thing, all that crap. You know, you never talk about a ex-president. All of these things that have been, you know, held as honorable ways for people to run a government or, you know, allow the next administration to do what they want or what have you. It's just not going to work, guys. Everything's fucking falling down and nobody's really seeing the forest for the trees here in politics. My goodness. And I mean, there is just no precedent for this. You can say the Spanish flu was, but you know what? It was a lot simpler world, and that was just the heyday of industrialization getting started, wasn't it?
It was also the First World War was on at the time, and that interfered with it. Wilson didn't want to make it a big issue, so he also evaded the subject quite a bit.
Here's the other thing, too. I was just reflecting here as we were talking this right now, is I came across on YouTube.
No, I'm on
Real.
And Bob's out.
The Real Dr. Zhivago, which was Pasternak. Boris Pasternak was the man who wrote the book. And I'm looking at this. That was a total collapse of their whole economic system in Russia. And of course, it was, you know, a civil war, an eternal implosion of Russia. And don't think that it happened to them, it won't happen to us. If this economic, because of this pandemic and this economic collapse,
this is global.
That's right. And it's going to be a global implosion. I agree, Grant. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And don't think that because we're the great United States that we're going to be safe from it, immune from it, above it.
We haven't been the great United for a few years.
Putin's bragging about that. In other words, hey, I got my man in there in the White House. He's destroying the United States. The United States isn't a great country anymore. Thank you, people of Russia. You can thank me. He's taking claim for it.
Well, I mean, and then you have the absolute failure of the political. I mean, I have not heard one politician, save a few kind of crazy progressives, I have not heard one politician talk in terms of how massive this is going to be on a global level. And I guess they're trying really hard not to scare the public, though.
I was going to say.
You know, they're trying to put Band-Aids. Yeah.
Right. You know, the population will be pulling out the razor blades.
It really hurts me when they will point to the stock market and use it as a Band-Aid for the social mindset, because the stock market is nothing but a reflection of how much profit is going to a very small percentage of people. And don't give me your 401k bunk. Because
Your 401k is just their fodder to be feeding on themselves. That's a bigger animal that's eating up your 401k.
I paid capital gains for 37 years, and I know just exactly who gets what. And it's just not. It was a time when it was turning something, and you can still see some, but it is not the end all. That it is not an indicator of how well we're doing here in this country or any other country. This is just manipulative of goods, profits of goods. And when you think about it, you understand that. Touting the stock market as an indicator, which is what I guess Trump has been doing a lot, and promising that everything's going to be okay because of that. I mean, geez, are people this stupid? Yes, they are.
Gwen, I know that both you and Professor know that I use John Nash's game theorem and look at current events and, you know, play all the identify big thing is identifying all the variables and then play them out how one's going to react against the other. I knew back in November that this stock market was overinflated. It was being very well manipulated. It was based on false numbers. And right before Christmas, I called up my broker and my big bulk of 401k, which I'll be using first when I retire, I pulled out of the market and put it into a savings account. I kept my Roth IRA in the market because that's what I'm buying stocks here while they're low and crashed through it. But my Roth IRA lost $10,000 in the month of March, and my 401k with its interest rate made $300.
Oh, wow.
I saw this coming, this crash coming, and it was all because of Trump and his cronies manipulating it. If it hadn't been for the coronavirus, it was going to be something else that was going to crash it. Actually, it was a double whammy. We knew it was going to crash, but the coronavirus, COVID-19, made it that much worse.
Well, you know, the thing is that, I don't know, Ron, you're a student of history.
Yes.
The only thing I can see that would be reflective of what we're going to face is something like what took Europe out. And they had to start all over again. I mean, they still had their hierarchy, and gosh knows society requires it. But you got your paid workers. There was huge, and then, of course, a renaissance. I think that's what we're looking at. I really do. I think it's that, you know, Spanish flu took out. I was shocked. I was low on the numbers there. My sister said, you know, wait a minute, take a look. And I went and Googled it and I saw, oh my God, 50 to 60 million died globally.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I had no idea, but when the Black Death went through the finally, and it had hit and done some damage for a couple of hundred years, and then it really hit with bubonic and took out 40% of really the global population at that time. Everything shifted. You had paid workers. You still had your hierarchy because society requires leadership. But then you had this extraordinary renaissance, too. And I keep thinking that's what's going on here. That's the only thing.
We're not anywhere near the renaissance. And you're right. The Black Death or the bubonic plague is really what the Roman Empire.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really what killed it. And then we went into the Dark Ages. We lost what we knew in mathematics. The formula for concrete, even today, the buildings built in Rome that was based on the old Roman concrete is still some of the strongest buildings ever. They didn't
right.
discover the formula for concrete until about the mid-1850s.
Yeah.
I think the world has lost some of its intelligence over the millenniums, don't you think? As a group,
well,
I mean, not, there's always individuals.
Yeah. Sure.
I think there is a loss.
Mm-hmm.
I think more, you know, I've said to people I know, I said, I don't like people in general. I like people I know, but being around a lot of people annoys me.
Well, you know,
go
Ron,
ahead, Grant,
here's an interesting thing. Since the 1980s and a little bit before, probably the last of the 70s, children, and this you can look for this, and children have been born with greater brain hooked up than we have. I mean, we come from an era where it's like 7%, and now it's up to about 10% of the brain working. And also, and it doesn't mean they're brighter, it means that they have more facility. And they're larger. Children are larger. They're taller.
Well, that could be due to the fact of just nutrition and stuff like that.
Yeah, it probably is. I would say it probably is. But
getting back to the professor's statement was, I always like to bring up this quote. It's Isaac Asimov, who was really a very good scientist and a science fiction writer. And his famous quote is here of late is, there has been a wave of anti-intellectualism that now thinks that its ignorance is just as good as your knowledge.
Yeah,
I'll give you an example. I was in, my wife and I went out, we just popped into a quick shop, and there was a guy standing there, and he was complimenting on a mask. Oh, yeah, I like the way, this and stuff. And, he had a mask on and stuff. And then he goes into, says, I said, I was saying to him, my wife, works for a doctor who's director of three nursing homes, and my wife is always doing research to stand up. I said, if you're not wearing a mask and someone is talking, you're not even around. You're not even anywhere near the place. And they're talking, of course, the S's and the T's project, moisture out of your mouth.
Yes.
And it can hang there with the virus for 14 minutes. You come in without a mask. You don't see anybody. It's safe. And you walk through. It's like looking through a whole thing of no-see-ums, bugs. And you're getting it that way. Anyway,
I guess we have to outlaw using S's and T's.
Yeah, well, anyway, this guy goes ahead and follows up.
Try to imagine speaking without S and T.
Yeah, right. And I said, the doctor my wife works for, Carol asked him about him opening up here, because, like some of the states are right now, and he just kind of puts his head down a little bit and shakes it. It's just, we shouldn't be even thinking about talking about this until maybe the middle of June, and even only that, evaluate. Well, then this, what it was, he was a Trump-tard, or, whatever, the teabagger. And he said, well, I disagree. And I said, I don't care if you disagree. I'm a doctor. I had to write there even silent. I had to fire back at him. I said, he's got a doctorate. You don't know. Well, I'm not trying to belittle his education. I said, no, he went, gave him the underhand, went, go away, dumbass, and I walked away. Well, then he just stood there with my shit on his face, and that's the way that conversation ended.
I tell you, people don't like people who are educated. I notice that, they look down on you with, you're a professor. Some people say things like, not that I know everything.
Excuse me, where have you guys been? This is a political thing now.
Elitism.
But when I was in college, you'd catch shit from the other side of the student body. Oh, you're too elitist, there's always been this kind of thing. And you get it especially from people who don't have the opportunity to go out and educate themselves or the ambition to do so, because I've known people who've pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and have put themselves through school and paid their colleges off and worked for it until they were in their late 30s to pay their college tuitions off. And that was that was people in the 60s. And because they
were
curious.
There's a right saying, they mock what they don't understand.
That's right.
And propaganda broadcasting like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity and stuff have empowered these people saying, well, you have a right for an opinion too. Not when you're overruling somebody who's not only a doctor of medicine, but has decades of practicing internal medicine.
Yep.
Well, they...
you think you're going to agree to him, override him, because this is... Well, I disagree with that. I don't give a damn what you do.
Well, do you know what the highest form of education is? The highest form of education, kindness. People who are highly educated are kind people. They're good people because they understand that, I have to step back and they're smart. They realize whatever.
I've done it many times, but I got to the point where I can no longer tolerate stupidity.
Yeah, but the part of that right now, especially at this time, is that if you disagree with somebody, they'll pull out a gun and shoot you in the middle of the dollar store.
No,
if
that's another scenario in itself, right?
Yeah, but if you get told to put on a mask, you could get shot, and that's a guy carrying a gun as a security officer. I mean, it's crazy out there. You got people in Michigan, in the Capitol, standing around the Capitol, threatening the government with guns and masks, and the hyena sitting in the Oval Office is saying that that's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's absolutely it's a mess.
Well, it's just another.
It's a mess.
Another variable in this sad state that we're in is when you got somebody who's in an authority like that, and then others in the government of the same almost imperity authority, Mitch McConnell, right, sorry, empowering this ignorance. You're justified to shoot somebody because they told you to dare you to, you know, reform your liberties and stuff and making you wear a mask. That's the kind of shit going on.
Screw the Congress and Senate. Your entire Justice Department, your State Department, and your intelligence community now are corrupted with all of these hateseeds and idiots and haters.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, there's been massive resignations in the State Department. They don't talk about that much. The Justice Department is seeing its exoduses in different states. And, whoever walks into the White House, if it's a new person, if it's Joe Biden, he's got to handle all of that. At the same time, the breakdown of the world, you know? So,
Joe Biden is going to have a mess on his hands. And because he does have experience, he is, you know, again, you have others like Clinton and Obama who has his ears. Hopefully he'll listen to and guide him. But, yes, there's got to be a lot of repairing throughout our whole infrastructure of government and the other peripheral aspects.
Well, there were a couple of very smart candidates running against him, including Bernie Sanders. Who could be
Bernie
very
Sanders
helpful.
And Elizabeth Warren, too.
Elizabeth
Warren's going to have his ear, too. I know she is.
Yeah, I'm going to be publishing an article this week on my blog about my proposed cabinet for Biden, and I include Bernie Sanders as Secretary of Health and Human Services. How does that sound?
That's good.
It sounds
and Secretary
like
of the Treasury, Elizabeth Warren. How's that?
It's beautiful, but it sounds like a pipe dream if you take a look at what's going on.
And Secretary of the Interior, Jay Inslee, who's great on the environment.
Jay Inslee's catching a lot of crap from the Republican community of the state of Washington because you know what he's doing? He's got them locked down again. He's got them at a stay at home unless you're essential. And he has corralled the National Guard to go and test everybody door to door and to trace where they have been, which is testing and tracing are the ways to get a handle on this. And people are freaking out and think their freedoms are being, you know, exploited.
Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan's had a rough time too, but she did a great job.
Yeah.
You know?
We are at the very end of the show. We got 30 seconds, gentlemen. I'm sorry, I didn't see that coming. So thank you, Ron. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Jack.
It was a great time, as always.
Yes, good show, folks.
I will say this. I'm getting very weary of the whole thing, and I wonder how it's all going to toss up. I mean, we're doing our best. We're all going to do our best. But, jeez, what a boy, it's a mess. So everybody stay safe. Please wear a mask. Please keep your distance. Please remember what Wayne said about the lifespan of your spittle in the air.
And avoid saying S's and T's.
Yeah.
It's not about you catching it. It's about you not giving it to somebody.
I was going to say you passing it on. Very well stated.
So that's our show tonight. Find the Progressive Professor at theprogressiveprofessor.com and Ronald Feynman on Facebook and Wayne Johnson on Facebook. And please take And that's it. We're done. Oh, boy.
Good night, all. Good night.
Good night.
Jesus. Oh.